Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Domestics, imports, microbrews, snacks, fresh hot roasted peanuts, the pickle bar. Stock up for the big Memorial Day weekend right now at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Question I asked before is that if I were to take the Washington Redskins and I would hand them to you on a silver platter, now you had 100% controlling interest in the team, would you keep the nickname Redskins or would you change the name? This is if you had 100% control. Roger in Sealands Grove. We started the conversation before the break. We continue. Made some good points about how long the brand has been in place.
Right. Well, to continue my thought, they are the third most valuable franchise in the NFL, which means there are a lot of folks who are not offended by the Redskins phrase. To that end, I would probably keep it for now, but I would be sensitive to see if that ever grows to a point where that is not the case. And those offended who may now be in the minority become the majority. And the Redskins, a friend of Dan Snyder's, trademarked the name Bravehearts with the thinking that I suppose if worst came to worst, they could go back to, they were originally the Boston Braves, I believe, back in 1933. They could go back to that and just be the Washington Braves, and they could keep some things probably about their uniforms. And I don't know how less offensive that would be to go from being a Redskin to a Brave. And then I think you really get into it where if you change the Redskins, then you change the Blackhawks, you have to change the Indians. Do we have to get away from all Native American names? And I grew up a Washington sports fan, and I'm a Phillies fan because the D.C. had no baseball team when I grew up. But I was a Redskins fan, and I was a Bullets fan. The Bullets were really good when I grew up. And it's still difficult to this day not to be able to call my favorite basketball team the Bullets. Imagine if you woke up one day and couldn't call the Boston Celtics the Celtics anymore. And you know, the owner, Teddy Leonsis, went back to the colors of the Bullets, red, white, and blue. And believe it or not, that did something to pacify me. I enjoyed more watching Washington basketball this year because the Wizards at least looked like the Bullets used to look. And I kind of just blanked out the fact they now call themselves the Wizards, which is one of the dumbest names in all of sports and has nothing to do with the city of Washington or their basketball heritage. But whatever, I don't think Ted Leonsis wanted to go back to the firestorm of, oh, you're naming it the Bullets, that stands for violence, and we have too many shootings in Washington. And I don't think he wanted to deal with all that, so he thought, well, I'll do the best I can and stay with the color scheme. So could you keep the burgundy and gold color scheme of the Redskins? Could you keep everything about it except for the Indian on the side of the helmet? Could you go back? Do you remember the helmets from the early 70s, Steve, when they just had the R on the side of them? Could you go back to something like that? I don't know, but short answer long, I wouldn't change the name of the franchise.
Yeah, the R on the side was actually Vince Lombardi. He did that because of the G on the side of Green Bay. It was his idea to put the R on the side of the Redskins the one year that he was the head coach, vice president, and general manager. And then, of course, then they went with the helmet they have now. Now, for, I think, a period of time under Steve Spurrier, they had a split helmet, one with the old spear on the side, and then the other one with, obviously, the Redskin face logo on the side. But you're talking about branding now. Branding is so important as to your identity, who you are, what's your reputation. The branding of the Redskins is such where they are the third most successful franchise. The branding of the Redskins is that on merchandise, they're always in the top five. That's all part of it. So what, you know, so when you start debating the nickname of the team, has it hurt them in a public image? And the answer has to be no, it has not. Now, is it offensive to a wide enough group to make you consider it? that's something you always have to keep an eye on to make sure.
You know, and the 50 senators that, you know, sent the letter to President Obama, they were all Democrats, so it wasn't a bipartisan effort. I'm not criticizing the Democratic Party, but it wasn't necessarily a bipartisan act of Congress. And, you know, none of the senators from Virginia signed that letter. And that's because the Redskins trade, you know, they train in Virginia, and their fan base is in Virginia, and none of them signed the letter. So it's far from a bipartisan thing. I think it's just the opposite. I think it's specific to a particular party right now, and I would just take that for what it's worth.
Well, I think what it is, anytime you see something like that happen from Congress, it's just grandstanding. That's all it is. And that's why you mentioned the name Washington Braves. Yeah, I can't think of anybody brave in that city to begin with.
So. There you go. Yep.
Nobody brave in that city comes to my mind, so.
Yeah. All right, don't say.
But you know what? But I'll tell you this. I'll say this about the Redskins. They're going to make, I think, they'll be one of the top three or four most improved teams in the NFL in the coming season, and a big reason why will be Robert Griffin III. Being a year and a half removed from a torn ACL will be an exponential difference compared to the shell he was last season.
Yep, agreed. Agreed. Looking forward to that. All right, thank you, Steve.
Yeah. Thank you, Roger. All right. If I gave you controlling interest, you had 100% interest in the Redskins. Okay, I handed it to you on a silver platter. We're going to continue the conversation because I just want to get as many viewpoints as possible at 800-795-9565. I hand it to you on a silver platter. Now, I don't care if you're an Eagle fan, Steeler fan, whatever. Would you change the nickname? And it doesn't matter if you're getting any pressure from Congress. That's irrelevant. Tell them to buy season tickets.
That would be the last thing that would cause me to change it.
Yeah, exactly. I'd be like, yeah, really, you know. Note to members of Congress, you're actually the employees. just so you know. I just want to point that out to you. But if you had controlling interest, okay, now this is yours. Your own now it becomes your own personal stamp and opinion. Do you keep it the Redskins because the brand is so deeply embedded? Or do you say, you know what? It's my baby now. I'm going to take it. I think that this is the right thing to do. So what to you would be the right thing to do if you had 100% controlling interest? And there's no wrong answer here. There's no right answer either. It's just your personal opinion.
But I think you and Roger made a good point in your discussion when you were talking about the fact that this is the third most popular team in the NFL. And it's also selling things, which means that with a logo that has been questioned. Cleveland, with baseball, there's a perfect example of a logo that was questionable, and they felt the need to change it. But does Cleveland have the same marketing, marketing response the way the Redskins do, the way the Washington Redskins do? No. So it's not damaging for Cleveland, is my point.
I will make two quick points to you on changing names. UMass and St. John's both used to be, their nickname each was the Redmen.
Yes.
Okay. They each changed. St. John's to the Red Storm. Okay. And UMass to something that makes complete sense, the Minutemen. Okay. That's. You want to talk about the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Minutemen, Lexington, Concord. Okay. Makes complete sense.
Yeah.
But they changed from the Redmen to that. Is the nickname Redskins in the same realm, in your opinion, as Redmen? And that's a question you... Now you get to the branding part. Now let's get to the merchandising part. Say you did own the team. And say you made the decision, you know what? I think we ought to change it. Okay. So you change it. I wonder how much money you would make from new merchandise.
Yeah, I thought about that, but I would hope that's not going to be the reason you decide to change or not change.
If you're going to sit down in a room, Kevin, conference room, okay, eventually that topic comes up. It's a business. Okay, it's a business. So eventually the topic of, hey, if we change this over, how would we do on merchandise sales? Okay, in a closed room where everything's on the table, you do have to discuss it. Because now, if you do change it, you have to change it to something that the fans latch onto. Roger was talking about going from the Bullets to the Wizards. And, of course, you know, you can't have Bullets. Bullets are bad, okay? Well, there are people that also think that Wizardry is bad, too. Okay.
I was thinking that as you guys were talking about it, but I didn't want to jump in. Yes. Okay. There's some people that think Wizardry is evil.
Right. There's some people that feel Wizardry is bad and evil. All right. And then there are others who love Harry Potter and they think it's a cool thing. I mean, you know. But you'd have to, now you're sitting down saying, okay, we're going to change it. Right? You're going to tell the world that the reason you're doing it is because it's honorable. Okay? That's the reason you're going to tell everybody. You're not going to tell anybody you're going to do it for any other reason, right? Now you have to come up with a nickname and a logo that fans will gravitate toward. And that's not easy. Notice how Roger said he gravitated back toward the Wizards once they went back to the old Bullets colors. The days of Elvin Hayes, Wes Unseld, Phil Chenier. Okay. So even changing colors is not even that does. Some people have changed. Okay, let me give you an example of we'll change the uniform and it really worked. Tampa Bay. From the creamsicle to the pewter.
Well, they also took Devil out of Devil Rays, too.
Well, I was talking about the Bucks.
But... Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking the baseball side, right, where they took Devil out of Devil Rays.
Yeah, and then they kind of changed it into Sunshine. Okay, sure. You know, but they still have the Devil. They still have the Manta Ray swimming in the pool out there, too.
Right.
And they still have that. But that's what they've done. Okay. The Angels. When they played at Wrigley Field in Los Angeles, and yes, there was a Wrigley Field in Los Angeles. And for those who go back a ways, remember the old TV show Home Run Derby?
Yes. I've seen that on ESPN Classic. Really? I didn't know.
That was at Wrigley Field in Los Angeles. When the Angels started out, they actually played in Los Angeles. Then when they moved to Anaheim, they were the California Angels. Then they became the Anaheim Angels. Now, even though they have not moved out of Anaheim, they are now the Los Angeles Angels again. Almost like the American League claiming that market. All right. So that's their brand. You change uniforms, schemes, whatever. The 49ers helmets used to be silver. Now they're gold.
See, I only remember gold. I didn't even know there was a silver one.
Back in the 60s, they had silver helmets. Look at the Falcons. They've changed from the red to the black helmets. Every once in a while, they bring a throwback in there. You change the nickname of the team. We talked about Bullets to Wizards, Titans to Jets. In college, Red Men to Minutemen, Red Men to Red Storm, Warriors to Golden Eagles at Marquette. Now it brings with it, okay, but there's a tradition of 81 years with this name, too. 81 years. It started in Boston. As Roger mentioned, they were Braves, and they changed to the Redskins. And they were the Boston Redskins until they moved. I think they moved to Washington, I want to say, after the 37th season. I think the 38th season was their first season in Washington. And it's been that way the entire time. Now, life is different now in 2014 than it was in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and into the 70s and so forth. I mean, it is different times. So does it still hold? And whatever you do is something you want to move forward for the next 81 years. You've been 81 years this way. Whatever you do is going to, you want to be able to hold for the next 81 years. It obviously has not been offensive enough where, when you look at merchandise sales and the popularity of the club, they're number three. So I don't, you know, I'm just saying this is just an interesting topic to talk about. There's, to me, you can have a wide range of opinions on it. But in terms of the brand, Washington Redskins, you know how you and I have talked about before the ability to cross over a spectrum?
Sure.
LeBron James, for example, is known across the board by almost anybody walking the street. Peyton Manning is known, and Tom Brady, by almost anybody that walks the street. Okay? The sport you love so much, Mario Andretti. He may not race anymore, but if you ask somebody to name a race car driver, I'm willing to say 6 out of 10 people name him.
Or at least will recognize the name when you say it.
I mean, that's across the board. Now let's get to the nickname Redskins. The vast majority of the public, whether they're a football fan or not, know the name Washington Redskins as well as they know the name Dallas Cowboys. They wouldn't know the Seattle Seahawks, but they would know the Washington Redskins. And not because it's offensive, but because they know the name of the team. Because it's just one of those franchises where maybe they're not quite the Yankees, but boy, they are pretty, they're in the same ballpark with them in terms of name recognition. There's certain teams name recognition wise, Los Angeles Lakers, Boston Celtics, New York Yankees, Los Angeles Dodgers, Boston Red Sox, Dallas Cowboys, Washington Redskins, Pittsburgh Steelers. And maybe the Chicago Blackhawks, Montreal Canadiens, Boston Bruins, maybe, that are ingrained across the sports spectrum. Now, this is not the National Football League's decision. This is Dan Snyder's decision. This is his decision as the owner of the club. The NFL cannot make him change.
They can strongly suggest if they want to, but that doesn't mean he has to.
He doesn't have to do it. He owns the team. In the end, it is a one-man decision. And the more they talk, and the more they talk about it, the more the brand gets ingrained. I mean, you realize that's the
other point.
That's
a good point.
Yeah. The more you talk about it, right? 50 senators say change it. Like, all of a sudden, I don't know, you know, 50 public employees tell you to change it. And you're like, okay, great. And that's what they are, 50 public employees. All right, tell you to change it. And it's a news story again, and it becomes more ingrained, the brand of the Washington Redskins. At Illinois, at the University of Illinois, they are not allowed to have the mascot, Chief Alignawick. Not allowed, because the NCAA says you can't do it. And they would be barred from the NCAA men's basketball tournament if they had the mascot. Chief, as he was nicknamed, would dance at halftime of every football and basketball game at home. Witnessed it many times myself, up close and personal. Our seats are courtside at Illinois and obviously the football stadium. And the student body would gather around the court, take up the entire court, they go around it. And on the football field, same thing. On the football field, all around the edge of the, you know, okay? And the chief would be in the middle and he'd dance. They are not allowed to do that anymore. If they did, they would forfeit any chance of being at the NCAA men's basketball tournament. Yet the number of shirts that I see on the Illinois campus that are orange and have a picture of the chief on it and say, chief, interesting. All right, bottom of the hour, take a break, head right into news, and then wrap it up for the week here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com. The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
We head into the Memorial Day weekend, which, by the way, brings with it a special time in our area. Talk about that 1 second. You need to stock up for Memorial Day tonight, right now.
That was somebody just leaving to get to Brewers Outlet.
Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, with the best selection of imports, domestics, microbrews, snacks, soft drinks, fresh hot roasted peanuts, the pickle bar. That is one-stop shopping, my friends. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Something special in our area is on Monday, because on Monday in Bowlesburg, about maybe 5-6 miles from where I am right now, is the 150th celebration of the first ever Memorial Day. Started in 1864, three women decorated graves in 1864 for the first Memorial Day celebration. Now, officially, according to the U.S. government, the birthplace of Memorial Day is actually in Waterloo, New York. I know that for a fact because my grandparents on my father's side lived in Waterloo, New York. My family is just all history here. My mother, my grandparents, Lexington, Massachusetts. My godmother lives four houses off the Lexington Green where the Revolutionary War started. But when I see Bowlesburg, it's the unofficial birthplace, and their celebration started, I think, I want to say 4 years before Waterloo did. There are eight different places that claim to be the birthplace of Memorial Day. Well, Bowlesburg is one of them, and their 150th celebration is going to be on Monday. And to pick up on the theme, we just heard Mark Lawrence on the Mark show that you heard this morning in WKOK about Memorial Day. One thing we cannot lose, we were just talking about the 81 years of Washington Redskin tradition and traditions of other. One thing we cannot lose is that in the hustle and bustle of life, in the social media world and so forth that we live in, and in the 24-hour news cycle, we cannot lose the meaning of what certain days do mean. Do not lose the meaning of Thanksgiving. Do not lose the meaning of the 4th of July. Do not lose the meaning of Veterans Day. Do not lose the meaning of Memorial Day. Don't lose the meaning. This is also going to be the 70th anniversary next month of D-Day. The 70th anniversary of D-Day is next month, June 6th. Now, the number of those who actually went through that has dwindled to so few now, because obviously they'd be in their late 80s, early 90s. But on the 40th anniversary, then President Ronald Reagan made a speech about the boys of Punta Hawk. Take a moment and read it. Because they had to scale the cliffs that day, 70 years ago. And so many of them did not make it. Just like so many who went to Vietnam didn't make it. So many to Korea didn't make it. So many in Europe and in the islands of the Pacific didn't make it. And those before, obviously, wars from long ago. Okay? Those who fought in Iraq, those who fought in Afghanistan, that have lost their lives. Each one that lost their lives was protecting our freedom so that we can go out and we can have a gorgeous weekend here on our own, where we can go out and play a round of golf and have fun, go out and take in a sporting event, watch auto racing on Sunday, have that picnic, have that get-together, have that wine party and so forth, that we can travel within the confines of our country with complete and as much freedom as possible. We can get on a show like this and we can express our opinions as to how we feel about things. And that's because when it was put on the line, we praised those to their faces that survived Veterans Day, and we remember those who gave the ultimate sacrifice, and that's Memorial Day. So don't forget the meaning of what the day is. All right. We've talked about the Redskins today. We've talked about auto racing. It's a big weekend because Formula One gets things rolling with the Grand Prix of Monaco. And after both the viewers in our area are done with that, then we'll get to the Indianapolis 500.
Who's the other one besides me? I'd like to see if we can get together and have fun.
Than Mitchell.
I did know that one.
All right. And then it's the Indy 500. A lot of people will watch that. And then it's the 600 at night. It is auto racing's biggest day on Sunday. And you're talking, for those who watch the Indy 500 and the 600 down at Charlotte, that is 1,100 miles of racing. Different styles, different types, but it is racing's biggest day. And to their credit, both IndyCar, NASCAR, to run it on the same day and have one run at night, you know, that's brilliant marketing on both their parts.
Well, they used to run it against each other for years, but that...
Right. Then they became smart.
Yeah.
And it really turned into a full day of a full day racing festival. Now, obviously, you'll get up early on Sunday and you'll whatever.
Oh no, I'll be there. I'll be watching Monaco, absolutely, 7:30 on NBC. This will be, I think, the 72nd running. 78 laps, well, 2 miles is just a little over 2 miles. So you're looking at, 156 miles. The shortest race of the day.
Fabulous. 98th Indianapolis 500. 98th. And big time. USA Today did a really, really nice piece today on the front page of its sports section. Indy's past, now present. It's the headline story. Can Montoya and Villeneuve boost race's fortunes?
What?
That's what it says.
Say that. No, wait, wait. This is where?
USA Today.
This is the USA Today. Are they trying to sell papers in Canada? Because really, the only one, the only people that are more than half aware that Jacques is actually running again are people in Canada, where they knew his father.
I'm just telling you what the story says. Yeah, I'm just telling you what the story says. That's the story. I'm sorry it's not the story you want.
Go to page.
Go to page 12. Go to page 12. A where the story continues. Greatest spectacle looks to what? I'm trying to do something here.
I'm listening. I'm listening. I'm sorry.
Okay. You can't get too emotional here. Greatest spectacle looks to restore luster. Meanwhile, James Hinchcliffe on fellow Canadian Jacques Villeneuve, I never thought I'd ever have a chance to race against him.
Well, sure, it's exciting for him. I mean, he's like their Mario Andretti. Well, not really. His dad would. It's like a Michael. Mario would. His dad would actually be more recognized.
Now, this is the headline. Greatest spectacle looks to restore luster.
I agree with that headline, though. I do agree with that headline. There has been the sheen is gone a little bit from the 500 because of what happened with George and what they did with IRL cart split.
Agreed. Many wasted years where, for example, Michael Andretti, Al Unser Jr., and recognizable names sat it out. And that really hurt the sport a lot. Yeah. Dick in Milton. Hi, Dick.
Hey, Steve. And I just wanted to, and Kevin, I just wanted to say I wish everybody a happy Memorial Day and how much we appreciate your show. And you were talking about the veterans. And so I've been out 50 years this year, and that's not why I really called. But what I wanted to say was that my father-in-law, God bless him, they've passed away now, was at the Normandy, an officer at the invasion of Normandy. And one of my uncles was also at Omaha Beach. So, they survived a lot. And unfortunately, they're not with us anymore. But and but they both came home from overseas, obviously, after such traumatic experiences. But I wanted to just mention that and how much I was appreciated them for it.
Dick, absolutely right, because think of this. The blessing that they came back, think of all the people that couldn't even get off the beach. Couldn't even get off the beach.
Yeah. I know. They don't talk about it. My father-in-law did give an interview to Channel 16 on one of the anniversaries of the Normandy invasion. Mm-hmm. They came over here to Milton and interviewed him, which I thought was kind of neat. But my uncle from Perry County, that was Omaha Beach. I mean, very few people in his outfit even survived that experience. And he was like 18 years old.
So. Exactly, and that's and to have done what they did. And let's face it, you get off the transport, and it's a hail of gunfire, and you're on a beach, and it's a beach. Okay, you can't really get behind trees and rocks down there, you have to scale cliffs. That's why I talk about the Rangers and the boys at Punta Hawk. You're talking about something special that and my mother had a lot of cousins. She had one that was captured by the Nazis, and he talked about his experience, and it was bad, but it was palatable. Okay. She also had one that was captured by the Japanese and went through the Bataan Death March. He would never, ever talk about it. Never.
I was in Southeast Asia during Vietnam, and it was 50 years ago. But what really bothers me more than anything, and this is something for people to think about, we ask people to enlist and go overseas, especially Iraq and Afghanistan and Kuwait and places, and then what they went through in World War II and Vietnam and Korea. And now they're passing bills in New York City where they can't buy cigarettes till they're 21.
Right.
I mean, when you stop and put that in some kind of perspective, it doesn't make a lot of make a lot of sense to me. I think somebody that spends that much time overseas and fights for their country ought to be able to buy a pack of cigarettes. I guess that's my point. And I'm not sure where we're heading. I'm not encouraging anybody to smoke, and that wasn't even my point. But my point is that
I understand what you mean. Believe me, I know what you mean, Dick. I know what you mean.
It just seems sad to me in this day and age. Anyhow, happy Memorial Day to everybody, including you guys and even Kevin for the Indy 500. See you. Thank you.
Thanks, Dick. I think I appreciate that. I'm not sure.
No, I'm a big race fan.
It's a big day. It's
from
a big day.
From all the way from Fields Grove to Indianapolis. Hey, we'll see you. Thank you.
Take care.
Thanks, Dick. We'll come back, wrap up the week in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
All right, I won't put you through it again.
I think I've suffered enough. All right.
It will be the last time he sings it, though. So make sure you do me the favor of at least watching that part of the pre-race festivities. It'll be the last time he does it.
My pick to win Indianapolis, Ricky Bobby.
Oh, please.
Should be good. Driving a car that says me with a tiger on it.
Listen, this is my weekend. There is nothing you can say that's going to bring me down. Where's your little happy now?
You should have heard him during the break. Okay. Yesterday was all about insurance fraud, and his wife even endorsed it. Today, he's going, what Pablo Montoya is not a race.
He's not going to bring back IndyCar. Give me a break. The man is most famous for running into a jet dryer on a caution lap. I realize he won the 500, okay, but he won it in a year where most of the drivers that would have won the 500 weren't racing it because of the split. There's an asterisk.
But you're pinning your hopes on a six-year-old. I don't get that. Doesn't he have his license yet?
I don't think Sage Karam's going to win. I think he's the future of IndyCar. I think he's the future, and I think you also have Munoz, Carlos Munoz, as the future of IndyCar right now.
Absolutely. And I, yeah, in fact, if we were to go down the street at Danville right now and mention his name, they'd be like, okay, what?
Jacques Villeneuve.
Right.
And Juan Pablo Montoya.
Well, Juan Pablo Montoya, okay, for whatever you say about him, has been racing on NASCAR, which gets higher ratings to begin with, and now at least is a recognizable name on the IndyCar circuit.
Whoopee.
That's what you need. You need people crossing over. That's why the Kurt Busch thing is a big, big deal on Sunday.
I agree with that.
It's a huge deal. Why? Because people know who the heck Kurt Busch is. They don't know who Sage Karam is. Come on. They don't even know who he is.
I don't disagree with you. I am not disagreeing with you a bit.
Juan Pablo Montoya, at least he brings with him at least a name that people recognize.
The guy won 2 races in 8 years. Come on.
And the 18-year-old has won how many major races?
That's only 2 more races that he's won. And guess what? Montoya's run in 253. Sage Karam's run in 0 so far. This will be his first.
Right. And you're making a big deal out of somebody who's done nothing. Okay? Montoya's won the Indianapolis 500 and 2 races. You know how hard it is to win 2 races? You make it seem like winning is easy.
Well,
winning
it seems to be pretty easy for a couple of gentlemen that have done it on a series on a regular basis NASCAR.
But how many times have they lost?
Not as many as Juan Pablo Montoya.
But how many times have they lost? Lloyd Ruby was an excellent driver on the IndyCar circuit. Okay? Lloyd Ruby never won the Indianapolis 500, yet he was a heck of a driver.
I think Carl Edwards has 5 times as many wins as Juan Pablo Montoya.
And he also has a ton of losses, too. It's not easy to win. He is not an elite top level driver, but he's in the next tier. Is he among the greats of all time? No. But what he does have at the moment is name recognition.
Juan Pablo Montoya is not the savior of the IndyCar series.
I didn't say he was. I said he has name recognition. All right. Now, for a passionate individual such as yourself that gets a little bit too hyped about it.
Miffed.
Okay. But you have to attract casual fans. He is a name that will draw you maybe to the race to watch somebody else.